All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. Do you have your Bible with you tonight? All right, we're going to look at a couple of different passages of Scripture in order to for me to get this point across to you. But let's begin here in Matthew chapter 5. Matthew 5. All right, I want you to look down, please, at verse 38. In verse 38, the Lord Jesus is speaking here. He's giving the Sermon on the Mount. And this is three chapters long, chapter 5, chapter 6, and chapter 7. And he's just getting warmed up here. In verse 38 of the fifth chapter. And he says, "Ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth." And you say, "Well, what in the world does that mean?" Well, that means if you fight me and you knock my eye out, I'm gonna knock your eye out. That's what that means. If you and I get into it and you break one of my teeth, then I'm going to break one of your teeth to get even with you. All right, so that's basically what is being discussed here. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. All right, now read on. Jesus says, "But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain or two. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away." All right, I'm going to stop reading right there. And I want you to look down, please, at verse 39. I say down because it's down at the bottom on my Bible. I don't know where it is on yours. You might look up on yours. I don't know. But on mine, I'm looking down. And there's a little phrase that you have heard, I have heard, it's been quoted over and over and over, that says, turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. All right, so let's pray, and then keep your Bible where you can get at it. And I'm going to have you look up some other verses to prove my point tonight. But let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. And then the message, turn the other cheek. All right, let's pray. Father, I ask you to help us tonight. I pray that you will bless as I preach this message. And I ask you, Father, to help me as I speak. I want to be a blessing. But Father, the only way I can be a blessing is if you bless me and help me. And if you bless our people as they listen and help them. But Father, we do need your blessing, and I pray that what I'm going to preach on tonight will be a matter that rules our hearts, that it will be something that points us in the way we ought to walk. And Father, I ask you just to bless it to every person tonight. For we pray and ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I want to speak to you tonight on a subject that I think every single Christian and every single church member needs to hear. This is a subject that sadly is not preached on very much in our churches today. And the majority of all of our problems in our churches stem from what I want to try and show you tonight. I am sure that there is not a single person in this building who is beyond the need of the truth that I'm about to share with you from the Word of God. Now, Jesus said, love them that hate you. We say, I'm going to get him back if it kills me. Jesus said, pray for them that despitefully use you. And we say, I am getting even if it's the last thing I do. Jesus said, render not evil for evil. But we say, I don't get mad, I get even. God said in Deuteronomy 32:35, vengeance is mine, I will repay. But we say, oh no, I am going to make you pay. You see, we've got it all backwards, folks. The way we treat one another, we got it all backwards. It's everything is just completely turned around. Sweet revenge, I don't think there's anything sweet about it at all. I don't get that sweet revenge thing. Is vengeance really sweet? Well, I want all of you to know that I don't think it is. I think it's wicked. I think it hurts you when you seek your own vengeance more than you realize that it hurts you. And I think it is the pinnacle of carnality to have an attitude that looks for vengeance against others. How many precious souls are going to be in hell because our churches are filled with people who have been been hurt or wronged, whether intentionally or unintentionally, and the devil has then filled those people with a bitter spirit and has filled them with anger and with the desire to get back, and has just infiltrated their lives with a bad spirit. And instead of growing in the Lord, and instead of seeking to win precious souls to the Lord, they spend their lives defeated and broken. How many Christians aren't doing what they are supposed to be doing because they are green with envy, jealous of someone else? How many? Well, I'm telling you, folks, it's a whole lot more than what any of us could possibly realize. Now, let's ask the question tonight. Is vengeance really sweet? Now, I'm telling you, it's not, folks. This that's what the world thinks. The world thinks that vengeance is sweet. Sweet revenge, that's what they say. And I want you to know that vengeance is not sweet, and there is not one instant anywhere in the Bible, nowhere in the Bible, that proves otherwise. Now, I want you to think about a couple of people tonight. Let's go back to 1 Samuel, the book of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament. And I want you to look at chapter 18. 1 Samuel and chapter 18. And let me read you a little story here. 1 Samuel chapter 18. All right, now you remember in chapter 17, David killed Goliath. Remember that? He took 5 stones from the brook put them in a bag, put one stone in his sling, and we hear the preachers say it's a slingshot. No, it was not a slingshot. It was a sling, and they were leather straps, had a little pouch down here. You put the rock in it, and they practiced with it until they could knock the hair off of a fly. All right? That's how good they were with them. And you didn't have anything else to do when you were out there guarding the sheep, and so you just practiced with the sling until you knew how to sling that sling. All right? And so here's David now, and he takes five stones. You say, Pastor, why five stones? Well, Goliath had four relatives, and they were giants just like Goliath was. And so David figured after he knocked the socks off of Goliath, he was going to have to fight the other four. And so he was prepared if he had to do that. Now, he didn't have to do that because they ran, bunch of cowards. But nonetheless, he was ready. And so in chapter 17, David is fighting Goliath and he wins. Now, at the beginning of chapter 18, when they came back into the city and things settled down a little bit, King Saul's son, Jonathan, and David became best friends. Now, you'll remember when they came into town after the battle, that the Bible says all the ladies got on the sides of the road, and they said that Saul has slain his thousands, but David his tens of thousands. And then when that was said, the green-eyed monster got a hold of King Saul. And he hated David from that time forward. Literally hated him with a passion. And to the place where he tried to kill David. Now, if you look down at verse 9 in chapter 18, you will see the first time that something happened between Saul and David. And it says that you'll see in verse 7 and 8 where the women said, Saul has slain his thousands, David his 10,000s. Then in verse 9 it says, and Saul, what's the next word? He eyed him. That means he watched him. He just was looking. He couldn't stand it that David got the accolades from his people. And so he eyed David from that day and forward. Now, isn't that something, folks? I mean, the old green-eyed monster got a hold of King Saul, and he eyed David from that day forward. You see, folks, the entire rest of Saul's years on this earth, the whole rest of the years of Saul's life, 10 years after Goliath died, Saul died 10 years later. And for that entire 10-year period, the only thing that Saul could think about was killing David. He hated David with a passion, even though David had not done a thing to him. That's what jealousy and envy will do to your heart. So the rest of Saul's days were spent and wasted as he tries to get David. And if you keep reading, you will see at the end of 1 Samuel that Saul died a horrible, tragic death, a somewhat early death, which I think came as a result of his desire to get vengeance against David. So sweet? I don't think so. I mean, ask Saul about that. And I don't think Saul is going to tell you, oh yeah, revenge is sweet. I recommend it. No, I don't think he's going to recommend it to you at all. Go back to the first book of the Bible. Go back to the book of Genesis and chapter 4 for just a moment. Let me show you another example of this. Sweet vengeance? No, didn't work out for these two characters either. All right, look please at chapter 4 and look at verse 3. Genesis 4 and verse 3, it says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering, but unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very angry," very wroth. "He was mad, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth?" Why are you angry? "And why has your countenance fallen?" Why? What's wrong with you? God knew what was wrong with him. He just wanted Cain to know what was wrong with himself. And he said, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall his be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." And Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and what? He slew him. Is vengeance sweet? No, it's not. I tell you, folks, it's not. I want you to look at verse 10. Look at verse 10. It says that the Lord came in verse 9 and said, "Where's your brother? Where's your brother?" And Cain said, "Well, don't ask me. Am I my brother's keeper?" Hey, everybody, look here. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Now, don't be deceived by that. Yes, you are. You are your brother's keeper. All right? And so Cain said, "Am I my brother's keeper?" And he said, God said to him, "What hast thou done?" And look what happened. He said in verse 11, "Thou art cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be on the earth." And Cain said unto the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear." Sweet revenge? No, I don't think so. Go ask Cain about revenge. Go ask him, "Cain, was it worth it to kill your brother? Was it worth it to take his life simply because God accepted his offering and rejected yours, which was the work of your own hands?" Sweet revenge? No. No, it's not sweet revenge, folks. Jealousy and a vengeful heart. And what we read here in verse 10 through verse 16 is that God took vengeance upon Cain, and Cain found out that vengeance was anything but sweet. Folks, the simple truth of this whole thing is vengeance is quite bitter. It never gives you the satisfaction that you think it's going to give you. It never gives you the joy that you think you deserve. It'll never give it to you. You say, "But Pastor, I was wronged. I have to retaliate. I have to get my revenge. I just can't be treated like that and then let it go." Well, listen, you may have been done wrongly. I don't know. You may have been treated wrongly, but you need to understand this essential fact. Vengeance does not belong to you. Vengeance belongs to God Almighty. And it's time that we quit fighting back And it's time that we keep stop criticizing our family. Our family, we are a family, the Church of the Open Door. We are a brother and sisterhood. We are family here. And it's time for people to get off a book face and quit criticizing everybody else. You say, but I was wronged. So what? So what? Let me remind you, folks, our blessed Savior was wronged. Let me remind you, when he was hanging on Calvary's cross, he looked down upon that crowd who was spitting on him and cursing at him, who were responsible for getting him nailed to that cross. And he looked down upon them in love and mercy and said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You see, folks, God will take care of your enemies. You are supposed to love your enemies. You are supposed to pray for those who despitefully use you. Vengeance belongs to God. Turn over to the book of Romans for just a minute. Let me show you this in the Bible so you won't think I'm just making it all up. All right, turn over to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. Are y'all writing this down so you'll know where to look? All right. Look at Romans chapter 12. Look at verse 17. All right. Now, I know y'all think I sneaked in and wrote this before church tonight. I didn't. No, this has been in the Bible ever since Paul wrote the book of Romans. All right? And if it's not in your Bible, you got the wrong Bible. All right, look at verse 17. Paul said, recompense, that means pay back, to no man evil for evil. If somebody does you wrong, don't seek to get them back. Not evil for evil. No, sir. Provide things honest in the sight of all men. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. All right. Now, there's some folks, you just can't do it. You just can't live peaceably with some people. Now, you just can't. But it's not your job to bring vengeance upon them. And Paul said, if it be possible, which means there are some times when it's not possible. When you cannot get along with somebody, you just cannot get along with them. Period. That's sad, but there are people like that. All right, so Paul said, live peaceably with what's the next word? All men. Now again, there's that word all. What's it mean? All. Exactly right. Live peaceably with all men. Watch this. Verse 19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. You see, what you're doing when you seek vengeance is you are putting yourself in the place of God. It's not your job to get vengeance. It's God's job to take care of those issues. You are to love your enemies. You are to pray for those that despitefully use you. Now, folks, listen, second thing I want you to see, I want you to understand that God's way is the sweet way. It's the right way. God's way is the sweet way. One thing is certain, revenge and retaliation will only lead to more sin. which can only lead to more sorrow and to more problems. Now, let's go back to David again. So go back to 1 Samuel, only this time turn to the 24th chapter. 1 Samuel chapter 24. 1 Samuel 24. All right, now watch this carefully. In verse 1, it says, I'm sorry, I'll wait on you. Hurry up. 3, 2, 1, time's up. All right, verse 1. And it came to pass, when Saul was returned from following the Philistines, that it was told him, saying, behold, David is in the wilderness of En-Gedi. Then Saul took 3,000. I think he's pretty ticked, don't you? I mean, he's going after one guy and a few of his friends. And he's got 3,000 people, soldiers, mercy. So 3,000 chosen men, not just any old 3,000 men. All right, these are all Navy SEALs. All right, that's in the Greek. You need to understand that. Or the Hebrew, I'm sorry, it's Old Testament, isn't it? Chosen men out of all Israel, and went to seek David and his men upon the rocks of the wild goats. And he came to the sheepcotes, by the way, where was a cave. And Saul went in to cover his feet. Now, there's different feelings as to what that means. Some folks think he went in to go to the bathroom. And some other think that he went in and just took an afternoon siesta. And David and his men were in that cave. They remained in the sides of the cave. And the men of David said unto him, once Saul was asleep, they said, behold, the day of which the Lord said unto thee, behold, I will deliver thine enemy. See, they even had scripture. All right, they're even quoting scripture to David. And said, David, remember, when the Lord said he's going to deliver your enemy into your hand, well, here's your chance, David. Here it is. He said that thou mayest do to him as it shall seem good unto thee. But David did not kill Saul. He rose up, he slipped out, and he cut off a part of Saul's robe that he was wearing, that his cloak. He cut off a piece of his robe and just went on. And it came to pass afterward, listen, you want to see what kind of man David was? And it came to pass afterward that David's heart smote him simply because he had cut off Saul's skirt. And he said unto his men, watch this now, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed. And it was the Lord who anointed Saul to be the king in Israel. The Lord chose Saul. And the Lord had Samuel anoint Saul. And so David said, the Lord forbid that I should do this thing unto my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch forth mine hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord. So folks, look at the attitude that David has. His men say, get him, David, here's your chance. Kill him while you got the chance. After all, he deserves it, doesn't he? Kill him, David. And David said, no, sir. I'm not going to lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. You know what David was saying? David was saying, if Saul's going to get it, he's going to get it from God, not from me. If David's going to get it, it's going to be God that gives it to him, not me. I am not going to lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. Look at chapter 26 real quickly. Chapter 26 and verse 7. Chapter 26 and verse 7. All right, we have another situation. In verse 7, you see David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul was sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster, his head. But Abner and the people lay round about him. Abner was Saul's right hand. He was his commander in chief. Then said Abishai, verse 8, to David, God hath delivered. So Abishai, David's right hand, says to David, all right, David, here it is. God has delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now, therefore, let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time. You know what Abishai is saying? Lord, you, Master David, King, let me at him. You let me take my spear and drive it through his heart and stick it into the ground. And if you let me do it, I won't have to do it a second time. The first time is going to be enough. You got it? All right, now look at what happened. And David said, verse 9, to Abishai, destroy him not, for who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? David said furthermore, in other words, he went on, and he said, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, and he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth mine hand against the Lord's anointed. And folks, again, David spares Saul, showing us the right way to handle the temptation to fight back. I'm telling you, folks, there's just too much of "I'm going to get even" that's going around today. And it ought not be. Look at verse 11 for just a moment. Look at verse 11. He said, the Lord forbid. Now, I'm going to just be a little self-serving here for a moment. But for the staff and for myself. But let me tell you something, folks. You better be careful what you say about these guys sitting up here. You better be careful. And you better be careful what you say about me. Now, I'm not going to get you. I told you 25 years ago when I came here, I'm not going to fight you back. I don't know if anybody was here then. Just about everybody's been, I've run them all off. Or they've died. We got a bigger church in heaven than we do here. But I told you 25 years ago, I will not fight you back. I told you that. And I haven't. I haven't. I haven't always let it roll off my back like water off a duck's back, I can tell you that. Sometimes I have not been able to sleep. Sometimes I have not been able to, I could barely function. And it's difficult when you're attacked week after week, day after day. It's difficult. But now I'm standing here before you tonight with a Bible in my hand, and I'm telling you, you better not lift your hand against the Lord's anointed. That is as dangerous as it can be. And I want you to know that when you read the rest of 1 and 2 Samuel, you will see that David was blessed and became a man who had the richest of God's blessings upon him. And Saul died a tragic, horrible, terrible death. So I want you to realize that, folks. I want you to understand that. You be careful what you say about any man of God. Now, I know as pastors, we are on center stage, especially me, because I do all the yakking. All right? I do all the talking, and I know that we're on center stage. We are expected to be omniscient and omnipresent and perfect human beings, but we're not. We're simply sinners saved by grace. And we are often made the subject of criticism, sometimes even hatred, and very often the subject of discussion. But my dear friend, you better be careful what you say about any man of God. You better be careful whether he is a pastor or an evangelist or a missionary or whatever he may be. If God has called him, then you keep your hands off of him. And you keep your mouth off of him too. It's not your place. You say, well, that frazzling preacher, yak. Yeah, I know, but you better be careful right there. You're about to cross the line. And when you cross that line, you're going to regret it. Because that still is in play today. That still is in play. Jesus gives us the right way to deal with others. Now let me show you this, and then I'll be done. Go back to Matthew 5, to our text. Matthew chapter 5. And look at our text. All right. Verse 39. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. Now, I want you to think about this. What is Jesus saying here? Is he saying that because we are Christians, we are to stand idly by and let someone beat the tar out of us? Is that what he's saying? No, he's not saying that. That is not what he is saying. Now, I want you to look real carefully at the verse, all right? It says that whosoever shall smite thee on thy, what's the next word? Right cheek. All right? Ray, stand up here for just a minute. Put your Bible down. Oh, stop. I'm not going to hit him. You're in trouble now. All right, watch. This is simple. I'm not slighting all you left-handed people. All right? But the world, predominantly, is right-handed. Now, if I'm going to smite him with my dominant hand, which cheek am I going to hit?
His right.
No. You stay out of this. I'm going to hit his left cheek. Everybody see that? All right. You want a demonstration?
Yes.
So if I take my dominant hand, and according to this verse, I smite him on the right cheek. How do I do that? Here's how I do that. I sneak up on him. I come from his backside. I come up behind him where he doesn't see me. He doesn't know it's coming. And I take my dominant hand, and then I can hit him on his right cheek. Nod your heads. Are you with me? You know what Jesus is saying? He is saying when your critics and when those people that despise you, thank you, Ray, you may sit down. When those people that despise you, those people that pick on you, those people that run their mouth against you, those people who get on Bookface and slander you and slam you thinking that they're doing God a favor. You know, they're straightening out the whole world, see? They know best. You with me? And so they come up and take their right hand and hit you from behind, Jesus said, when your critics come after you, turn around and give them the other cheek. But let me tell you something, folks. If you come up and bust me in the face, I'm going to bust you back. Now, I may have to get my jaw fixed before I do it, but I'm going to bust you back. You see, you're not supposed to stand there and get beat up. That's not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that when you are attacked, don't retaliate. When you are gossiped about, when you are abused verbally, don't fight back. It's not your place. Whose place is it to get even? It's God's place. Plain and simple. You know, I've said this before, but there's just too much, I hate him. There's too much of that. And that is as ungodly as it can be. There's just way too much, I can't stand her. What do you mean you can't stand her? What has she done to you? She's so awful. Well, you ain't much either. Let's be honest. I mean, let's be honest about it. Huh? Who are we to sit and criticize somebody else? I mean, come on. I can't stand him. She makes me sick. Well, you would expect the world to act like that, wouldn't you? You would expect the unsaved world to act like that. But Christians are supposed to love one another, even your enemies. And you let God take care of them. They get out of line, God will take care of them. Let me tell you something, folks. If one of us gets out of line, God will take care of us. And boy, does he ever. And quickly. You see, we got a whole bunch of people we're responsible for. And so when we get out of line, the Lord goes, grab. Did your dad ever grab you by the nape of the neck and then lay the board of correction to you? You know, you can't do that anymore. It's child abuse, you know. And that's the problem with us today. I remember one time I came around the corner and my dad grabbed me by the nape of the neck. And the reason he had done that, because I'd beat the tar out of my brother. That wasn't vengeance. That was just for fun. And my dad knew it. And so when I went around the corner, there he was. Boom. He got a hold of me by the nape of the neck. And that was it. I was lit up like a Christmas tree. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But let's be honest with one another, Christian. We need to do some confessing. We need to get our hearts right. I know you got people that don't like you. I got people that don't like me. We all do. That's just life. But let's love those that hate us. Let's pray for those who despitefully use us. And you let God take care of them. He will. I think if we would just back off, if we would just say, okay, Lord, they're yours. I'm going to stop trying to be God. I'm going to let you have them, and you just back off. If you would just get away from it, the Lord will look down and say, all right, I'll handle this for you. And the Lord will take care of it. But as long as you're pushing and trying your best to get vengeance, God's going to say, man, you are disobeying my word. Vengeance is mine, not yours. It's mine. It belongs to me. So you let God take care of your enemies. All right, let's pray. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, would you let God speak to your heart tonight, Christian? Would you let God break through that armor you got up and just speak clearly to your heart. You say, but Pastor, you don't know what was said about me. No, I don't. I don't want to know what was said about you. But I do want you to know that there is one who will take care of your problem. You got to let him do it. It's not your place to fight back. All right, let's pray. Father, I want to pray that you will speak to hearts tonight. I pray you'll help each and every one of us to look inside and to see ourselves in the light of the Scripture. Cain learned a very valuable lesson. All he had to do was just do the right thing. He couldn't do it. And his jealousy and his envy got the best of him, and he ended up killing his own brother. My. So, Father, I pray that we'll learn from Cain. And then as we look at David, help us to see the antithesis of Cain. David was blessed beyond measure because he would not lift his hand against the Lord's anointed. So, Father, help us to be like David and not to be like Cain. Help us to turn the other cheek. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.